Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Guys, today we're going to start by recapping Brittany and Jax's wedding. Of course, we're going to be talking about Real Housewives of Potomac, Below Deck Med, the Real Housewives of New York City season finale.
And of course, we'll be ending things with Rose and Thorne. And we have new interviews with Captain Sandy Yon from Below Deck Med and Patricia Altschul from Southern Charm.
So Brittany and Jax's wedding.
They're married.
The Bravo royal wedding happened over the weekend, so I'm sure you guys saw all over Instagram, but it was so beautiful.
I mean, it's exactly as Brittany dreamt it would be, I assume.
I think so, for sure. Upon arrival, the guests actually received something that I wish I had access to right now, and that is Mama's beer cheese.
Ooh, that's really setting the tone for a Kentucky wedding.
Right. There was also a pre-wedding pool party, and everyone wore castle-themed costumes, and there was even a Taco Bell food truck.
How much do you think it costs to get a Taco Bell food truck?
I don't know, but I need a breakdown because I need one of those at, like, my next birthday.
Yeah.
My potential future wedding.
Just a Friday.
Set one up at my funeral, like, the whole thing.
So as you guys know, a lot of the Vanderpump Rules cast was in the wedding. So Stassi, Kristen, Ariana, Sheena, Lala, and Katie Maloney Schwartz were all in the bridal party.
What I thought was really funny, I saw a meme from one of the Bravo fan accounts that was like a picture of Stassi standing up at the altar. And it said, when you're the bridesmaid in a wedding of the dude you used to fuck. And I wanted to comment on it, but I didn't, and say, that's pretty much every gay wedding that's right. ever happened. So that's not so out there, but good observation.
I do love that Stassi was there and she was in the wedding, though. You know?
Yeah. I mean, thank God she had Beau on her arm the whole time. But
right.
Otherwise, it would have been a little weird if she right. was single at the time.
So a lot of Bravo Lebs were also in attendance. Shep Rose from Southern Charm. Also, Lauren Workus and Stephen McGee, who are Summer House alums.
I did notice a little bit of Shep and Sheena getting pretty cozy the night before the wedding.
Do you know if Lisa Vanderpump was able to get back in time for Pride?
I saw a picture of her at the wedding. I think she was only going to the wedding.
Mm.
She wouldn't have made it to World Pride.
Got it.
But there was a drag queen, Lisa Vanderpump, in attendance at World Pride.
Okay, well, there you go.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Okay, so Brittany, as we all know, was a Hooters girl, and Jax loves Hooters. So to honor that, after the reception, they had Hooters waitresses serving the wings in their outfits.
I love the fried pickles at Hooters. Another thing that I don't know if you noticed, but Carter appeared in the background in some of the Instagram stories, including one from Miss Kristen Doty. So
are they together? Are they not together?
I don't know.
So Real Housewives of Potomac, this episode was wild.
Yeah, I think this is where we're going to see the big shift in this season, where from here on out, it's going to be crazy.
Well, before we get to the Candace mom stuff, the thing that really annoyed me in this episode was Robin talking about how her kids weren't really aware of the situation with her and her husband. Like, they were so young when she and Juan got divorced that all they've ever known is mom and dad lived together. Like, that's all they've known. But then because they got older, they were doing some Googling and then found out, oh, they're divorced and here's why. And she said, I just wish I had been able to get in front of that. And it was like, you had how many seasons, Robin?
Right.
Like, that was out there. And the like, that would have been the time, no?
Yeah. No, it's really interesting because I feel like, you know, my parents got divorced when I was really young, too. And I don't totally remember, like, the experience before that. But just growing up, you know, it was always that my parents were separate. So I think you don't really think about it until you get older of like, oh, you know, I wonder what really happened. Like, let's break down, you know, maybe what really went on between the two of them. So it is kind of interesting to be a bit on the flip side where, yeah, their parents got divorced, but they were still together. So I feel like there's even an extra layer of complexity there. But, you know, kids are going to keep asking questions and get curious the older they get. So you can get ahead of it by just maybe having that conversation a little bit earlier. Like, here's what happened between mommy and daddy. Like, but we still love each other and we're still here for you guys.
I think if you're going to talk about it on a show, like, you need to,
right, exactly.
Have a conversation.
Yeah, Google is not your friend in those situations.
Right.
So Candace's mom, we learn that she was at a wedding with Candace.
Mm-hmm.
Candace said something she didn't like, and she actually hit her in the face with her purse.
My relationship with my mom has taken a pretty tumultuous turn. Recently, my mom and I are at one of my best friend's weddings, and her and I are kind of bickering about something, and she didn't like what I said, so she just decided to smack me in the face with her purse.
I think the thing about it that's wild to me is that we knew their relationship was pretty bad, but I don't think we knew it was perhaps at this point where there was actually some kind of physical thing happening.
And there's also this added layer of discomfort knowing it's her adult child she's doing it to.
In public.
Right. Like, there's something so demeaning about that, to do it to your adult child in public in front of your friends and family.
Absolutely. It seems like, you know, I'm not sure exactly what they were fighting about. I don't know if Candace really sort of expanded on what the argument was, but to know that she did that in public, it was definitely intended more so, I think, probably to embarrass her than to actually physically hurt her. So I think that has some deeper sort of psychological things going on there.
Right. So Michael, and apparently saying he wanted to suck someone's sausage.
I mean, haven't we all said that at one point or another?
For me, I was like, is that a big deal?
I mean, we don't actually even have the context of what he was talking about. And Robin was the first to say everyone was so drunk that night. Everyone was turned up. They were out way later. Robin was like, I haven't been that hungover in so long. So maybe he was making a joke. Maybe he really did want to partake in that activity. But it seems like at the end of the day, it was fueled by alcohol. So whether the intention was there or not, I think it's up for debate.
Well, I just want to give a little bit of context, if I could. You know the game Heads Up?
Yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, so you have to, your partner has like a word and you can see it, they can't. And if they, you know, it's just charades of sort.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron and I were playing and I'm holding up the word. I can't see it. And he said, ugh, I would have fucked him in this movie, Fight Club. And I was like, Brad Pitt. But like,
wow, okay. Aaron.
I don't think that necessarily means Aaron would, and it certainly doesn't mean we're in a sham marriage.
Right. No, I think you're making a very good point here, because maybe they were talking about Juan or some one of the husbands, you know, and as a joke, Michael was sort of like, oh, yeah, I would do that, too. You know, in the same sentiment that Aaron was making, like, he was so hot, you know, whatever. I understand what you're saying, and maybe that was the context of what they were talking about, but it might have just like triggered them when they heard that, and that was the only thing from the drunken night that both Candace and Robin remembered,
right,
in that situation. You know
what I don't understand are all of these allegations that Ashley and Michael just aren't telling the truth, that Michael is gay and they're just not admitting it. Why would Ashley choose to be in this marriage on reality TV if she didn't really love Michael? Like, by the way, they're having a baby together at this point. Like, now, in today. And they almost got divorced and she got back together with him. Like, what would her motive be?
To your point, you know, they have been kind of transparent, especially last season, about the prenup. And he was like, I don't want to discuss this on camera. And, you know, their relationship is kind of unconventional, but also a lot of times relationships do play out the way theirs has. And I think maybe there isn't something that he's actually hiding. And I think what they keep bringing it back to, the women keep bringing it back to, is like, well, is he gay or is he not? And it's a little bit like, well, maybe he's bisexual. And I feel like Ashley has to keep defending his sexuality, but maybe he is bi and maybe he's just not out about it. Maybe Ashley is protecting him. You know, I think we might see some of that unfold and be unpacked, especially in next week's episode when we know that this dinner party is really like kind of fired up. And then I think all of that will be derailed by the accusations that come later on.
Right. I mean, do you think that it would make you angry? Like, if you were in their situation, if you were a Karen or a Giselle, would you be angry that you had this fellow housewife who is not being completely honest?
I think so. I think we've seen that with a lot of other franchises, too, when a lot of the women feel like they're bringing all of their lives into the conversation and airing it all out on the show, and other wives are a little bit more private and secretive. I feel like there's an imbalance there among the cast, and then that's what causes even more tension between the ladies. I really appreciated the moment as the dinner was sort of starting that they were like, we need to take a moment to say amen and pray to Jesus, because I think they knew.
Starting.
Yeah, they were like, before we have this meal, this is going to hit the fan, but we need to pray. And I just loved that.
The person
we're going to bless the food real quickly. Lord, thank you for all the food on the entire table. Father God, cover this with the blood.
I want to know everything.
Let us have a great...
When I ask you for the truth...
I mean, it didn't work.
It did not work. So what do you think went wrong?
I think Candace definitely knew at this dinner she was going to have it out with Ashley. But Ashley did start it, because she said something about the drinking, like the wine poached pears or whatever. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yes. She brought it up about Monique, because she was like, oh, it's okay for, you know, Monique to be checked if she wants to have these pears when she's drinking, even though it's allowed. But then I am not allowed to drink, even if I'm not pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit on Ashley.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think Candace, what really made her upset is for Ashley to say, like, this is your mom's house.
100%. And that's when the knife came up and I was like, oh, this is not good. But we had seen previously in the episode when Candace and Monique sat down together for lunch, Monique did the same thing. She was like, I think you're talking about your mom. You're doing what your mom does to you, to me. And Candace was like, whoa, 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 don't bring my mom into this. Like, these are separate issues. I feel like I am kind of understanding Candace's frustration, because the women keep bringing her back into the picture and they're not separating Candace's issues with the women from Candace's issues with her mom. And I think they are separate issues.
Right. I mean, also, though, Ashley not really stopping once she sees the butter knife in hand.
I would have backed up.
I agree. Like, even when I get to a point with Aaron where we're arguing, which, by the way, never includes a butter knife. But what I'm saying is...
That's good to know.
There is a point where you have to say, you're getting me so hot right now that you need to walk away. Like,
yep.
There's nowhere this conversation is going to go that's good. I'm only going to try to hurt you with my words. So, like, let's just stop.
Right. Well, there was an invasion of, like, physical space, you know? I feel like, especially with an object that's coming at you, you know, you need to back up. But, I mean, Ashley was feeling pretty brave.
Good on Chris. I mean, for really taking charge, right?
Well,
you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking
about. No, I know. It's just, no, I mean, I felt bad because he's working his ass off in the kitchen.
Right.
Trying to make a nice meal for everybody. And none of these women can behave past saying grace. You know, it's like, what are you guys, hold it together for a little bit.
On a side note, do we really need cookbooks anymore?
No.
Aren't there enough in the world?
I will say the one thing I appreciate about a handwritten cookbook, which is specific, but my friends do have them from, like, their grandparents.
Well, that's different.
But what I appreciate about a cookbook is, like, the recipe is, like, right there. Like, there's not this whole paragraph about, like, all sorts of things. Like, when you look up a recipe online these days, there's always, like, two pages before you get to the recipe about, like, why they chose this recipe and the history behind it. And I'm just like, I just need to know how much margarine to put in this thing.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, let me get to it.
Yes.
So I don't know. Below Deck Med, Chef Mila is out the picture.
That was kind of hard for me to watch Sandy have to do that because, okay, all of her political opinions aside, Chef Mila was really respectful from beginning to end of Captain Sandy. Like, she really took it in a way that I don't think any other chef could. Mm-hmm. So I think it's sad for her to have had such a great attitude and Sandy still be like, yeah, but you're not cutting it. Which, I mean, fair. She wasn't.
Absolutely. And you guys will hear later on in the interview with Captain Sandy, we ask her about that and if she kind of felt awkward having to fire her. And Captain Sandy was like, no, she wasn't performing up to her job. And, like, I can't have that on my boat. So we talk a little bit about that. You will hear. But I did see Chef Mila trying and being very respectful. And I think she was just totally overwhelmed or maybe just really wasn't as talented as her resume said she was.
Right.
What's also really tough is that it is in the middle of charter season. So for Captain Sandy to be down a chef and then having to move someone from another team on the boat into that position and then have to think about hiring a new chef, like, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
At this point.
But my God, how quickly Anastasia became too big for her britches.
Oh, yeah.
Like, very annoyingly so.
Listen, she made a mean asparagus risotto and it went right to her head.
But why are chefs such assholes? I don't understand.
You know, I worked in hospitality for a short amount of time before my job here at NBC when I was at Oxygen before that, whatever. And I encountered a lot of chefs that were really, really nice, but there's something about an ego in so many ways, and I don't really know where it stems from.
Like, I get as a doctor why you have a God complex. You're literally choosing whether someone lives or dies.
Right.
But as a chef, you're just choosing whether or not to burn something. Is it the same? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it's just a culture that has, like, somehow grown in that industry, but I don't know. It is very strange.
I also don't really care about food, so maybe that's why my perception is skewed.
Listen, I care about food. I have to say, too, I feel as though Travis has a man crush on Jack.
Mm.
Then again, we all have a crush on Jack.
Mm.
But there are things that are happening, conversations, activities occurring in their bunk.
Mangina.
The mangina.
When a man shares his mangina with you, I know you're going to be friends for life.
Is it true that once a man shows you his mangina, you're friends for life?
I guess so.
Has anyone ever shown you their mangina?
I don't think so.
Have you ever shown someone your mangina?
I think I did it to Danny, like, once.
Yeah, I was like, Aaron's definitely shown me
his. It's not super comfortable, so you don't want to, like, hold it for too long. But I was sort of like, that moment happened, and then they were talking on the boat about, like, sleeping with people, and then Travis said something about, you know, feeling a little like...
Well, no, I mean, what was my favorite is you have poor Colin, who's just like, they talk about sex all the time. My friends are married and have kids. And then they're cutting it with, would you have sex with a tiny woman? I think I would, yeah.
Right, right. No, it's so funny. I feel like Colin is such a nice guy, and those other two are just a little bit more immature.
Right.
And, you know, Captain Sandy talks about it a little bit later on in the interview, too, just, you know, where they are kind of in life versus maybe where Colin is.
You know what bothers me?
Tell me.
All, like, the sex jokes, all they're talking about when we're out is, like...
Smashing.
Would you sleep with a tiny person? I mean, if I met a dwarf and they were, like, sexy, I'd probably still crack on, to be honest.
What did you think about the music video that was being shot?
Iconic.
Right? I mean, I honestly, I wrote down in my notes, like, it's actually pretty smart to be like, I'm going to go on vacation on this beautiful yacht, but also film a music video.
But on a Bravo reality show.
Right.
Because then she's getting some of the cast members in the video. I mean, so, like, there's a lot at play there to help promote it.
Yeah, she's got free promotion. You know, she got a place to shoot it. She's getting a lot of time to, like, relax and prepare and get into character. I don't know what her character is, but she's getting into it.
Badass bitch.
And I believe the music video will be available on BravoTV.com.
Yes, that's correct.
I'm going to check it out. Megan, guess what I got yesterday?
I think I know. Was it your FabFitFun box?
It absolutely was, full of amazing new products.
It's kind of my favorite day when I get it. FabFitFun allows people everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review must-have brands that you know and love.
The seasonal subscription box contains full-size beauty, fashion, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99.
That's right, full-size products. There's no little samples of anything.
And every box is guaranteed to be worth over $200 in retail value. What a fantastic deal.
Members can also customize their box by choosing some products and add-ons with each box, or they can elect to be surprised with each one.
In this most recent box, I got the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, which is fantastic for traveling.
And I've been using my Wish Exfoliating Foot Mask, as well as Living Proof No Frizz Nourishing Style Cream.
FabFitFun is honestly such a great way to discover new brands and products that you may not have thought about before.
So head to FabFitFun.com to sign up today, and make sure to use our code DISH at checkout for $10 off your first box.
That's DISH, D-I-S-H, at checkout to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99.
And guess what? You deserve it.
Like I mentioned earlier, I also spoke with Captain Sandy Yuan, fresh off of the Bravo Pride float. So she talked a little bit about what it was like being part of that celebration, which Bravo celebrity she was the most excited to meet on the float, and the difference in her relationships with Joao and Hannah this season. So let's take a listen. Guys, we are here with Captain Sandy Yuan from Below Deck Med. Hi, Captain Sandy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, thank you for coming in. So first I have to ask, how was Pride yesterday?
It was epic. One of the most, like, I have never experienced anything like it. There must have been 4 million people.
I think that's what I heard. It was like 4 million in addition to the 8 million that already live here in New York.
It was, and to witness Andy, he's a great DJ, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Just everyone I never really met before. From the Housewives, it was such an amazing experience, and I feel so blessed that I could be a part of it.
Right. It was such a huge day. It was the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. I mean, it was Bravo's first Pride parade. So what was that experience like being on the float?
Emotional.
Yeah.
To witness how many people care. It's just about love, and who cares who you choose to love?
Right. Absolutely. So you said you had met a bunch of Housewives. There were so many people on the float. Who were you most excited to meet yesterday?
Well, all of them, really. Like, I don't have a favorite. Mm-hmm. I like all the shows, but one of the ones that really stuck out to me was Giselle, because she was so gracious, because the people who have gone there before, she would move out of the way for Nene, and I watched. Like, I'm a people watcher, and she's just so kind, and her energy was gracious. And then this morning, I never watched her show before. I watched it last night. I saw her standing outside the hotel. And I was like, oh, my God, she's such an authentic person. And she comes across the screen that way. And her mom, it was like an amazing show to watch. And I love Dorinda. I love them all.
Yeah.
But I think Giselle was the one for me that really stood out because she was so humble.
Yeah. Last night's episode of Potomac was a pretty intense one. So that was a good one to check out for the first time. So in addition to the float, you mentioned to us, and it was reported on BravoTV.com, that you received a lot of backlash after going public with your relationship. So can you talk a little bit about what that was like for you?
So first and foremost, I never really thought that my relationship would be so popular. Secondly, love is love. And when I met Leah, you know, she's a gospel singer. She's been on some major platforms. She sings to 80,000 people. She sang for President Bush. Like, she is a huge icon in the gospel world and was loved and adored, but also she fell in love with a woman. And I was like, what about the Bible? And she goes, well, you know, man wrote the Bible. And I loved her take on it, like, because she loves God and she loves me. So it's about the soul for her, and she's been shredded. Like, I'm the devil, she's going to hell, and it's just so shocking that people actually still think like that.
Yeah. How do you handle those comments? I mean, do you feel like you take that on, or is it sort of something you're able to kind of brush off?
Well, I've learned from doing the show that you don't read those comments. I go, bye-bye. So if someone has an opinion about something, I don't mind, and they disagree or compare me to Captain Lee. But when they start attacking character, that's when I delete them. And Leah's new to this. She's always been loved and adored. Now she's in this mix where she's being hated a lot. But she also has a lot of support from her gospel world as well. So I told her, don't read it. Bravo, we have like meetings about social media.
Right.
And if you don't like, if someone's just giving their opinion of something, I don't mind that. But if they're attacking her character, I do. I'm not the boss of Leah, but I would just go, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. You don't get me. And I told her, don't respond, because if you do, then you're engaging them.
Absolutely. So if you could give a piece of advice to people who, you know, receive backlash with social media the way it is now, it's so easy for people to say something that's hurtful. What piece of advice would you give people who are maybe experiencing that?
Don't allow them to have you, meaning don't respond, because to get to you, they would have to have that equal mentality. And people who don't, well, they don't get you.
Yeah.
So bye-bye.
Right. No, I think that's perfect. All right, let's talk a little bit about the show. So we have to talk first about Chef Mila. When you hired her, can you describe her resume and what it was that appealed to you initially?
Chef Cordon Bleu, like, come on, Paris trained. Yes, you want to believe people. And you also, Russia, I don't know anything about it. So I believe that she could cook. I've never actually met a Russian chef on a yacht, to be honest.
Right.
I can't imagine why. I'm sure that everyone can be trained. It was a shock to me. And poor Hannah. Like, I had no idea. I don't see what happens until I watch the show.
Yeah.
And what Hannah went through in the galley with her. And how Hannah refused to serve certain dishes. I'm so grateful. And when she told me about the nachos, and I walked through and I'm like, the tacos? Are these for the guests? It's like big red flags.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the season, all the good chefs are taken. So it isn't like I could fire her on the spot. They're all taken. So I wouldn't want to replace her with another Mila.
Right.
So I had to really wait for the right chef.
Do you feel awkward when you have to fire someone? Like, what is it like being the boss in that situation?
I don't feel awkward. I just want to make sure that they don't, when you get fired, it doesn't feel good. You feel like a loser. I'll speak for me. I've been let go before. It's when you build their character and then you have to say, I have to let you go, and this is why. Well, at least they know they have great qualities. They just don't have the skill set. So they can, as far as Mila goes, she was always respectful to me. I didn't see her in the galley. I wasn't in the van. I don't see that. But in front of her boss, she was gracious, kind, yes, captain, always.
Was there one particular moment watching the show back now that kind of shocked you? I think what we've heard from the crew in the after show that's coming up is that when she licked the meat.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, no, like, really? I was like, was that a lick or a sniff? But it was an actual lick.
It was a lick.
Yeah, it was mortifying. And I think, how many chefs do that?
It's so true. That's what my first thought was, like, that could be happening anywhere.
Right. It's shocking. Like, I was blown away. I wouldn't want to be the person eating that steak.
No. So after, there were some issues with Chef Mila, Anastasia stepped up. So what was that like, losing a crew member in one way, but having someone step up in that place?
First and foremost, I think when I let Mila go, the crew were relieved first, and everybody was willing to jump in and help the team. Anastasia wanted the challenge. Like, she is a person that whatever you give her, she's going to give 1,000%. That's her personality. Sometimes we can take on too much and go, oh my God, I said I would do this. And then the ego comes in and you're like afraid to say, I can't do this.
Right. Well, yeah, I think we saw her go through that, because she definitely talked about her experience, cooking on a previous boat. And then all of a sudden when it was handed to her, we saw her kind of freak out a little bit, but she pulled through in the end.
Right. Because she cooked for 14. She's got this. Like, her attitude was amazing. But then when the pressure's on, you got to perform. It's different. Like,
right.
But when you're just like in there helping, there's a whole different thing. Now she's got all the eyeballs on her, and sometimes people just can't handle that stress.
Absolutely. Well, especially when you're used to doing like turnovers and you're kind of below deck, and then all of a sudden all eyes are really on you.
Right.
I want to ask about boat romances. So we see them every season. What is it like being the boss and knowing that the crew is, getting involved?
A boatmance.
Yeah, a boatmance.
Yes. First of all, I don't like it because it just waters down everything. And I'll share this quick little story. I had a chief engineer. I walked in the engine room just as the chief stew was leaving. I had no idea they were seeing each other. She just broke up with him. And I was like, you know, we got a boat show tomorrow. You have to clean the engine room. And he wanted to hit me. I fired him. But that's what happens. People break up with people. And then sometimes you don't know how they're going to respond. Maybe they throw knives. I mean, I lock my door at night. I don't know who they are psychologically.
Right.
Could the knife? I've seen chefs throw knives at people. Ooh. Like it's, they're cray cray.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you lay down like any rules for the crew in advance about romances or?
You know, I'm not that captain. You know, I've had successful relationships on boats where people, I even said to this couple, if you want your relationship to work, you need to get out of yachting.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and they did. And they're happily married. They have two kids. They live in Australia. And another one, I had an engagement happen between two crew members on a boat, and they're no longer together.
Ooh.
They got married, and they stayed working on boats.
Right.
They're divorced.
Find some other interests, maybe.
Right, yeah. Yes.
I want to talk about, speaking of relationships, your relationship with Hannah and your relationship with Joao compared to last season to this one. So what has that been like?
Amazing. Like Hannah and I both reset. I think Hannah really wants to show me she can do a great job, and she's focused on her job, which makes me feel so happy. Joao, I've given him an opportunity. I think he's fulfilling it. He has a lot to learn, you know, as far as leading people. And I think Jack and Travis are giving him his challenges.
I think so. You had a really nice moment with Joao when he was talking about, I think, just being emotional about Brooke. And, you know, he's sort of brought up trust issues, and you said, you know, you can trust me. I mean, we're not going to be romantically involved, but you can trust me. So it was kind of nice to see that relationship form.
Right. So, and I shared this before, when people come on board, when I said, I'm not your friend, call me captain, because we're not friends, right? But as you spend a few seasons with someone, you see how they, if your emotions are out of balance, I'm not going to have the performance. So, mm-hmm. Of course, I'm going to listen to them because my ultimate goal is to get my job done. But also, at the same time, I am a human being. Of course, I'm going to listen, and they can trust me. I'm not going to go run around the boat. Come on.
Right.
I mean, I'm a captain.
Right. Speaking of Jack, he's getting a lot of attention from the ladies, I think, on social media. So we see him, he's a little bit...
lazy.
Yes. So do we see him sort of step up and evolve over the course of the season, or...
Keep watching.
Okay, fair. Would you ever have an all-female crew?
Of course, yeah. Yes. But you do need strength, you know, on deck. Like, it isn't... You know, there's an all-female sailing team, racing team. I think it's Heineken. One of those racing teams has all-women crew. You need a guy because you need the strength. That it's not about male-female to me. Like, you could become a captain without hauling a line. Mm-hmm. You just need to know how to handle line. So a lot of the times when the boats get bigger, it's a heaving line. It's called a monkey's fist. And they throw that, and then the people on the dock use that to heave the line. But after that, they got to pull the fenders in and the lines in. If the women have that strength, yes. But I need strength.
Yeah, it's more of
physical,
a physicality, yes, sort of situation. In this week's episode, there's also a music video recorded on the boat. So was that the first time that's ever happened for you?
In my career, yes.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch. You know what I love is how you can witness... takes you see them film and you go, how has this become a music video? And then it's all in editing. I'm fascinated by this whole world. It's very different. It's like we create the magic on a yacht. I'm used to doing logistics, airplanes, helicopters, transfers, like everything that production does, we do with just a lot less people.
Right.
So witnessing a video of a, you know, music video, it's so they layer the music. The music's already done. She's just mouthing the word. You know, they match that. That's so cool.
Right. So you have watched the video since it came out?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I have to check it out. I haven't watched it yet, but it's a pretty catchy song.
Yeah, totally.
Well, what else do we have to look forward to this season?
I think if you, for me, the witnessing a team form, and if the egos can stay out of it, maybe you're going to see a pretty amazing team at the end of the season.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Captain Sandy.
Thank you.
It's the the season finale of Real Housewives of New York City.
No.
It's over, but the reunion is just beginning.
And I have to say, you may have already watched the reunion because you get all the episodes before I do, but I saw a clip from the first 10 minutes or so in our last meeting.
Oh, what happens in it?
Oh, it launches like right, we're right into it. It's amazing. It's just the first 10 minutes of like part one. And we get some shade right off the bat. So you guys may remember in the interview with Dorinda from a few weeks ago, she mentions why she chose the dress that she did for the reunion. And she immediately shades Luann when they talk about how good she looks, like within the first 4 minutes.
Wow.
It's amazing. Anyway.
But yeah, so before we get to the reunion, let's talk about the finale. My big takeaway from this episode is how much Dorinda dislikes Tinsley.
I feel like our group were honest with each other. But, you know, I don't know anything more about Tinsley than I knew about her when I first met her. How you doing? Great. How's Scott? Not dating him. Married. Want a baby. That's all I got.
So what do you think it is that is causing that?
I have no idea. I don't know why anyone cares whether or not she's with Scott. Again, I think it's like someone not being completely upfront, just like we saw with Ashley and Michael, that has people so up in arms. But at the same time, like, Dorinda basically making fun of her dead dog.
Yeah.
In the whole thawing process, which, yeah, I agree. It's weird and, like, disturbing to think about. But I'm not going to say that to someone who just lost their pet and that's, like, their way of getting closure.
Right. And I think Tinsley brings up the point of, like, I don't have children like you guys, so I'm really emotional over this thing because, like, it was my child. And then she actually makes a joke about, like, my clothes are my children, you know, and they're kind of pressing her for how much money she's spending on clothes. And is it an arrangement with Scott? You know, they're really kind of discrediting Tinsley for what she does and what she's accomplished. And, you know, granted, she was kind of a trust fund baby, so that's someone else's accomplishments that she's...
But at the same time, yeah, she's a trust fund baby, so why are you asking where she gets her money from?
Or saying that how could she possibly afford a $3,000 dress?
Like, I mean, duh, she has family money. And right. She and Dale talk about that on the after show, actually, at BravoTV.com. Yeah, like she says, you know, I'm very blessed, thank you, Mommy, but I have family money. She was a socialite, people. Like, right. You don't end up in that world if you're poor.
Right. Exactly. And also, she does have a new eyelash line that just came out. So, entrepreneur, you can add that to her title or list of titles. So, stop pressing Tinsley about where her money's coming from. She's got her own.
Yeah.
So, a little bit on the opposite of Dorinda being so against Tinsley, we have Luann coming across a little bit obsessed with the idea of Bethany liking her.
Yeah.
And it's like, I haven't really noticed it as much in the past, but this season in particular, I feel like it's been pointed out to me enough that I'm sort of like, oh. But to that point, don't we all have that one friend that you really, really just want to like you? And even though they already do, you might go a little bit above and beyond to like really ensure that they like you.
Yeah, because, like, I guess I'm sort of wondering, what does Luann get out of Bethany really liking her? Like, is it a Bethany Frankel endorsement where because she has so many fans and so much money that that will help her? Because I don't know that it necessarily will.
I don't know. I think it might be one of those things where there is no actual solid reason. It's just something about who they are and, like, the way they are, and it's, yeah, you just like want them to like you. I feel like I had a lot of friends like that in college. Like, I would, you know, by the time I got out of high school, I was like kind of a cool kid. But then you get to college and you're right back down to the bottom of the barrel of like, you got to work your way up. And I remember meeting a lot of people my freshman and sophomore year of college and being like, oh my God, I just want them to like me. And it doesn't happen as much in adult life. So it is kind of weird to see Luann and Bethany having that kind of relationship, but maybe to your point, it's sort of like Bethany is a mogul in many ways and Luann is not, but you know, she has her own thing going on. But I think you might be right.
You know who does like Luann? Some of those men in her cabaret audience. I have never seen such happy faces in my whole life. Like, pure glee on some of these grown men's faces.
Right. Well, and then doesn't that also help you to maybe understand where Luann's ego is coming from?
Right.
Like when you are up on that stage and everyone is cheering for you, everyone's so happy to be there, you're touring the country, you know, it definitely inflates your ego to a point where it might be a little hard to like check yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
And we do hear actually Luann talk about that a little bit in part one of the reunion from what I saw. One of the things from the cabaret that I thought was really hysterical was, I think Barbara may have forgotten that her mic was on.
I don't think she can really ever hold her show by herself. I mean, she can't really sing.
Oh, I know.
Because she threw hella shade.
But you know what? Who can blame her? Like, once again, she's showing up for Luann, and Luann doesn't care about anyone except who didn't show up.
Right, exactly. That's a really good point. I mean, those women have been there at some of her other shows. Ramona did go ahead and plan a party at the same time, but how much are these women expected to give? And then for them to show up, come backstage, and then Luann be like, I gotta go, you guys. And they were all like, well, what the hell did we come here for?
But also the condescending, like, they just don't get it. They don't get what it takes to put a show like this together.
Right.
It's just like, calm down.
Yeah. It's like, listen, Sonia is a cabaret-esque star.
Right.
She knows what it's like. The rest of them, maybe not. Sonia, she does. Well, as if also Bethany hasn't had a tough year, she breaks down exactly what happened when she had that awful allergic reaction.
Paul left to get the Benadryl, and he came back 3 minutes later, and I was unconscious.
And Paul was like, seeing if I was breathing, and I was drooling.
He managed to get Benadryl and water down my throat and call 911.
I was in the ambulance and they jammed this like rocket pen in my leg, and I got to the ER, and then I heard the guy say if it had been 5 more minutes that I would have passed away. And then they were like, it just was like not real. And they were like, you're going to the ICU. And if no one was with me, I would have been dead. That's what's freaking me out. If I was alone, and I don't want to be alone now.
It was interesting to see her sort of, your worst fear sort of realized that you almost died, and just how she was so embracing of the other women.
Yeah. I think what was really scary was her point when she's talking to Sonia about it, being like, I could have been alone. And if I had been alone, no one would have been, I would have died. Like, that would have been it. It makes me think of that Sex and the City episode when Miranda is eating some Chinese food and she starts to choke, and then she coughs it up, thank goodness, and calls Carrie immediately and is like, I almost died. And Carrie's like, what happened or whatever? And she sort of breaks it down like, I'm alone. Like, what if this happened to me again? Like, that could have been it for me. So it really like connected in my head those two moments.
Love Sex and the City.
And I love Paul for saving Bethany and also being pretty hot.
So I got to interview Patricia Altschul from Southern Charm. We only had a small amount of time to talk to her, but she definitely had a lot to say about the Austin and Madison video. She also talks about where her relationship with Catherine is today and what fans can expect for the rest of the season. Here's that interview. We are here with Patricia, and Patricia, we don't have you for very long today, so I'm just going to jump in with some questions.
Go right ahead. I'm ready for you.
We are in season 6. Can you believe it?
No. It's gone by so quickly, but when you think about all that's happened, it's kind of cataclysmic. It's not getting any better.
I feel like last season was so tumultuous but so entertaining that I, as a Southern Charm fan, was almost worried this season wouldn't live up. What do you think?
Let me put your fears to rest, my dear. People have said, oh, well, Thomas is not going to be on it, so it's probably going to be bland, and you know, you won't have any kind of craziness to amuse yourself with. But this season, I predict, will be the best one yet. There are surprises that nobody is going to anticipate. You are going to be shocked and appalled, and not in a good way. But mostly surprise. You cannot, somebody said, you can't make these things up.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a wild ride.
When this group gets in trouble and it shows up in the media, let's say Austin's alleged threesome, do you think to yourself, oh, that's embarrassing, or do you think that's going to make some great TV?
I think both. I think threesomes. We didn't have threesomes when I grew up. I mean, I don't know where, you know, what goes where and with whom. I can't quite figure it out. I don't understand it. But on the other hand, I guess people are fascinated by it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can tell you Madison was not thrilled with it.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to cross her.
No. No. And she's lovely. I've known her 10 years. And she's kind, sweet, generous. She's very talented. She's career-driven, which I like and admire. But if somebody gives her a hard time, she will let them have it.
Are you worried that the show will take her away from you and your hair?
No. No. No, and I'll tell you why. We've been friends for 10 years, and she's not just my hairdresser. And I have friends from 20 to 90, you know. I like having that mix. And no, she's a loyal friend. Even if she has 20 other people working for her, she'll always come to my rescue.
Yeah. You know, Southern Charm is just one of Whitney's many accomplishments. I want to know, when looking back at his career, like, what has made you the most proud?
He excelled at the university. He did graduate studies. He is an avid reader. People get the impression that he's like a playboy, bon vivant. He travels, but he travels for business as well as pleasure. And he did 5 documentaries. He did one that, it got mixed reviews, but it was bought by Showtime and was featured by the Tribeca Film Festival. And then he's gone on to do Southern Charm, and he did a big deal in China, and he's working on several other shows. So I admire the fact that he does not have to work. I mean, Whitney never talks about it, but he has trust funds. He could sit on his tuffet and not do anything, like some other people I know.
I think I know who you're talking about.
So I'm very proud of the fact that he's accomplished and hardworking.
Yeah. Catherine is in your life again, and everyone, yes. All the fans are so excited. How deep are you able to get with Catherine now without fear of, you know, maybe earlier iterations of Catherine resurfacing?
Well, I mean, now she's sober. She does not have these outbursts and, you know, crazy Catherine shenanigans. And she's really on an upward spiral, good mother. She ends up being kind of reticent and shy, not like the wild and woolly Catherine you saw before. She's very easy to be around, very calm. We go shoe shopping, have lunch, you know. I've gone to some events. But she has the children to take care of, and then a steady boyfriend. So I don't see quite as much of her as I did before, which is understandable.
Yeah. And you're working with Craig again, right?
We did one special edition. I just wanted him to focus and to get one thing done. He has his own company, but this is one thing he did for me, for Patricia's Couture. And my company is dedicated to raising money for adoptive agencies, you know, animal rescue. So that was the focus of the company.
Yeah. Well, Lisa Vanderpump from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills also does a lot of work in the animal rescue department. Have you ever thought about teaming up with her?
I would love to do that. I think she's amazing. I admire her. So I've met her twice in L.A., and I like her enormously. And she does great work.
Awesome. Well, I know we have to let you go, but anything fans should know about the upcoming season?
They're going to be surprised. They cannot anticipate what's going to happen or with whom. And just stay tuned, because you're going to be riveted.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Rose and Thorn?
Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
So my rose this week were the French Bulldog puppies in Southern Charm.
Oh, my God. They're so adorable. I think I've mentioned to you recently that I have puppy fever. Like, as some people get like baby fever and they just like want to have a baby, I want a dog so badly.
You should get one.
I know. And this episode did not help with that fever.
Well, keep watching. I have a feeling it's going to be a little harder for Shep than he thinks.
I believe that. What do you think about the name Craig? Is that just like too much?
I mean, it's like, it's one of those things, like, that's a joke that's going to wear off real quick. You know?
Right.
Craig!
I think it's time to meet Craig.
Have you been calling him Craig?
We have. He knows his name very well.
Oh, gosh. Hey, buddy.
It might have already worn off.
What's your rose?
Well, my rose was actually quite unexpected, and it was getting a DM from Leanne Locken just a little while ago saying, Kelly Dodd and I are here, and we need to drop off a present for Andy. Can we come up? And I was like, of course you can, Leanne.
Like, yeah.
So I know Leanne. We've met a couple times in the past and whatnot, but I had never met Kelly Dodd before. So it was really exciting to meet her. She was super nice. And Kelly Dodd is super excited about the Real Housewives of Orange County teaser trailer that just came out, as am I.
What's up, baby?
Is he cute?
Check this out.
This season on the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Just think of all the orgasms you're gonna have.
They're making out!
Oh my God, is this for real?
Our room is nicer than yours. Just wanted to let you know.
I love being close to you.
Oh.
And I'm excited for us.
I like to kiss over and over and over and over again.
Bronwyn, you have more than a basketball team of kids.
Well, you look amazing.
Cheers to bad choices.
Yes!
I feel like we got a new Trace Amigas!
I have trouble with the way that you talk to me.
Okay.
I don't want to say anybody's marriage is bad, but I think our marriage might be bad.
There is a warrant out for Gina's arrest.
It just hurts. It's so unfair.
I will be here for you.
We need, like, therapy, group therapy.
Let the zen begin, ladies.
Namaste.
You do such a good job of embarrassing yourself.
I have not revealed all what I know.
I feel like you're behind this.
This is your support posse.
You're a f***ing con woman.
You are a bully!
I just feel like I'm having the worst year ever.
She called me fat.
You don't know what you've done to me.
When we speak out loud, we actually learn from one another.
I don't do cocaine, and I'm not a f***ing whore.
I'm gonna throw a f***ing boat.
Who do you trust?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
No, f*** you. Just leave me alone.
And release the breath.
Okay, there's nothing healing about.
Okay, what was your thorn?
Also from Southern Charm, it's Craig during his, like, he was so angry about Austin leaving the bar early because his ex-girlfriend told him to. But him, like, comparing that and saying, this is a mirror image of America right now.
Oh my God, yes.
And it was like, what? And it was like something about people, instead of, like, facing responsibility or deflecting, it was just like, what? No, Craig. No.
Right. Like, nice try, you know, because we all get it. We're in a very difficult political climate, but, like, not, that doesn't work.
No.
This is literally a mirror image of America right now. You don't talk about the issue, and you deflect, and you put it on me.
That a mirror ex-girlfriend. Image of America is a little much.
This is hilarious.
God love him.
My thorn was, I have never liked those newsboy style hats. And when I saw Luann wearing it, I was just like, you know what? No. Luann, you always or very often crush it. I think Luann has a great sense of style. That didn't do it for me.
And next week, we have interviews with Shep Rose from Southern Charm and Hannah Ferrier from Below Deck Med. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.